Good afternoon. Wow, that was pretty good. Considering we're not in Louisiana, that was really good. Thanks, everybody, for being here today. My name is Anna Rybick. I'm the program manager with the Louisiana Bucket Brigade. And as Karen just said, I started my career in international health in India and Brazil, and particularly in India, I did a lot of work around community-based disaster preparedness and worked very hard on the tsunami response from the Asian tsunami of 2004. And that sort of brought me into this idea that communities who are most affected by a disaster or by a problem are the best people to address that issue and to respond to the disaster. And in places that don't have the government machinery that we have here in the United States, the government is forced to rely on communities more in situations of disaster because they don't have any other recourse. But what ends up happening is that more lives are saved and less damage is done. And so that's the model that I brought to the Bucket Brigade and would like to bring to you today. That is a community-based disaster preparedness model for chemical emergencies. Another way I like to say it is a neighborhood watch model for environmental crime fighting, or community policing for environmental crime fighting. So that's what I'm going to talk about today, the tools that we use to train communities how to be the emergency response professionals in a time of a chemical emergency. No relationships to disclose. Okay, just a little background on the Bucket Brigade. We are a 501c3. We've been around for 11 years. Our mission is to support communities' use of grassroots action to create sustainable, informed communities free from industrial pollution. The bucket comes from, in our name, comes from this device right here. It's in a 5-gallon bucket. This is Percy Hollins. In the neighborhood of Norco, or what's better known in the community as Diamond, outside of a Valero facility in Louisiana. He, as you can see, there is a refinery accident in progress. You can tell by the large plume of black smoke and the large flame coming from the flare. You can tell by his face that it doesn't smell very good. It's actually slightly painful to be standing there taking that sample right there. What he's using is a 5-gallon bucket with a Tevlar bag attached to the inside of the bucket, a tube on the outside, which we give him a small handy vacuum, which creates a vacuum seal in the bucket, and all he has to do is open the valve, and it collects air. And then we give our FedEx number and a FedEx box, and that air sample goes off to the lab in Simi Valley, California, and is tested within 2 weeks. So the bucket is one model for emergency preparedness, not the only, but definitely the most important. Because when a chemical accident happens, like this one right here, who's going to know it first?
People that work.
She's going to know it first. This is Dorothy Jenkins. Okay, this is in her former community in Diamond, before the bucket samples helped her get bought out of that community. Okay, so anytime there's a rumbling in the plant, who knows it? Dorothy, right? She smells it first, she hears it first, the foundation of her house rumbles. Okay, so she is the best person to take a sample and document what is going on, because she's right there. It would take, how long do you think it would take the state agency to get to her community when this is going on? Right. I hope not 6 months. We've seen anything from 24 hours to 22 days. And an air release, like what you're seeing here, in a matter of hours, that is gone. It has dissipated. Right? But the exposure and the effects of that exposure, the health impacts of that exposure, continue. Just to give you an understanding of the landscape, we work all over the state. There are 17 refineries in the state. Also, there are also 150 petrochemical plants between New Orleans and Baton Rouge. This is a 90-mile distance. So the oil and gas industry in Louisiana is huge. Nearly 200,000 people are living within 2 miles of just a refinery in the state. That also includes 90 schools. This map shows you the amount of production per barrel, sized by the icon, and when you see the plume, that is the amount of pollution via accidents or petrochemical accidents. So what this allows us to see is who is producing a lot but not polluting very much. Can anybody tell me that? It's hard to see. So Marathon, for example, if you're wondering which oil gas station to go to. I'm just kidding. So oil spills, as we know, you know, last year was a big year for the oil spill, and it really called attention to this as a major petrochemical disaster waiting to happen. But in Louisiana, this is every day. Okay, this is not BP. This is Citgo in 2006. Because of a heavy rainstorm, which is common in Louisiana, their wastewater treatment system overflowed and 2.1 million gallons of oil spilled into the Calcasieu River Channel. There are many fishermen still in court to this day over that oil spill. And just to give you another map visual, these are all the reports to the National Response Center, which are a single point of contact for petrochemical industry accidents, just for 2009. Okay, there are over 2,600 mapped here. As you can see, 56% of them happened in the Gulf. There are 40,000 wells off the coast of Louisiana in the Gulf of Mexico. 35,000 of them are abandoned wells with absolutely no marking, no lighting, nothing. Those have been installed as, you know, early as the 1950s and are slowly corroding away and leaking on a daily basis. This is ExxonMobil's Baton Rouge refinery. It's the second largest refinery in the country. Unfortunately, this photo cuts off. There are many miles of petrochemical industry after this large refinery. There is also a chemical plant associated with ExxonMobil and 14 other chemical plants as you go north. We work in the community to the west of this plant. The community leader we work with is right at that A, where that A is. So she is definitely what we consider on the fence line of the industry. So another tool I want to tell you about today is called the Crisis Map. This is a crowdsourcing technology which allows anyone to call, text, email in a report of petrochemical pollution. And immediately, as soon as we approve it on the back end, it comes up as a report on the map for anyone to see. Why that's important is right now, those citizen reports go to the state agency and are buried in a very cumbersome database that allows you only to search what you know what you're searching for, if you know what you're searching for, and it will crash your computer in the process. So this is a little more user-friendly, and this is exactly the type of thing that we want to capture. This is what we can take to the regulatory agencies, what we can use in documentation to pressure the industry to clean up their act. This is Ms. Mabel's home in front of Calumet Refinery. Who is the best person to take a sample in this situation? Ms. Mabel. That happened in August of 2011, and because of the photo and her report, we were able to get some enforcement action for that from the EPA for that particular event. We first piloted this crowdsourcing platform during the BP oil spill. Within 3 days of the oil spill, we launched this technology. We wanted to capture all the things you see on the right-hand side, and this also allows you to upload photographs, video, and news stories along with your report. So here you see a report by a woman, a young woman, who waded in to Mobile Bay after a fresh application of dispersants on the bay after the oil reached Mobile Bay. She walked out with sores on her legs, and she had a YouTube video that she quickly uploaded onto the map. Okay? She remains anonymous until this day. We don't know who she is. Here's another flare photograph from Calumet Refining. They said that this is what the community member reported, that it was scheduled to burn off, but due to a power outage, it released a massive amount of chemical burn into the community, causing many citizens to become concerned in the city. This actually made it onto the evening news, and we're working to get this particular event still, even though it was a year ago, under enforcement action from the EPA. Here's a report from a community next to Murphy Oil in St. Bernard Parish. She reports that on Saturday night, she smelled an odor. It wasn't sulfur. She noticed the same odor off the south end and photos of large steam released late that night. So it doesn't need to necessarily be a flare that she's reporting. Anything strange, noise, a different kind of smell, and she's uploaded those photographs right here. So back to the bucket samples again. I just want to emphasize that it's never the bucket brigade who takes the sample. It's the community members who take those samples. So this is by far, you know, one of the more successful bucket campaigns that we had in 2000 to 2002. This community was relocated because of the successful sampling that they did. And you can see, you know, the community members who took the samples, on which dates, and what they found. There was never a sample that was taken with nothing in it that was non-detect in those 2 years. Also, Honeywell explosion in Baton Rouge, the same community that I showed you before. And this is part of the work that we do to try to explain what is chlorodifluoromethane and what does it mean to you. This community, the samplers took two samples, one inside their home and one outside their home, and the sample inside was worse because her windows had blown out during the explosion. She took that sample with a wet towel wrapped around her head. This is an often unrealized impact of the Hurricane Katrina. How many of you have heard of the Murphy oil spill during Hurricane Katrina? Okay, that's pretty good. Not great, but good. So, you know, this happened in St. Bernard Parish, which is a very low-lying floodplain to the east of New Orleans. It has high rates of land subsidence, meaning the parish is sinking. And Murphy Oil did not follow its hurricane preparedness plan, did not fill its tank to the required level, and it floated off of its foundation and dumped 1 million gallons of oil into the surrounding community. We helped community members do soil sampling. We found PAHs and cadmium in the soil at very high levels. The EPA samples, unfortunately, did not find that. But we had a community-led sampling regime. So that means that instead of doing random sampling, the community chose the spots where they wanted to do it and did it themselves. Sorry you can't see that. This is another tool that we use to watchdog environmental criminals in the petrochemical industry. This is called the Refinery Accident Database. We take the reports that the refineries file with the Louisiana Department of Environmental Quality. We go through them and analyze them for their causes and their quantities of releases and their preventability. And we upload it onto a database on our website. So anybody, all of you, can go into that and take a look at, in my community, how many accidents were there last year or this year. We're getting pretty current. We're now to the place where we can request once a month and upload as we go. So you can see the worst actors in the state, and you can also click in to see more about their causes. Something that, you know, we're using as we go forward with a health study in Baton Rouge is what kinds of pollutants are being emitted and how frequently and what's their quantities. So this is ExxonMobil's refinery from 2005 to 2011. It's very difficult to see, I'm sorry, but there are 1.7 million pounds of sulfur dioxide released just via accidents during that time. And we take a lot of pain to explain to communities what does that mean for them and for their children. If you need to know where to find any of this, it's all on our website, just as a reminder, at labucketbrigade.org. This also you can see. Okay, this says Health and Economic Impact Surveys. This is another participatory approach because we train communities and volunteers to do this surveying. The BP oil spill, we had the luxury of 70 volunteers from Patagonia Clothing Company, so we sent them out into 7 communities affected by the BP oil spill between July and October of 2010. We were able to collect 954 surveys. There is a presentation on the results of those surveys on Wednesday morning, but I'll give you just a little brief redact from that. Almost 3/4 believe that they were exposed to crude oil and dispersants during the spill, and nearly half reported an unusual increase in symptoms like coughing, skin and eye irritation, headaches that are consistent with chemical exposure. Only 31% of those surveyed sought treatment, and 31% used over-the-counter medications. 44% said their livelihood was impacted, and 64% expressed concern about seafood contamination. So as a result of that, we started to do some seafood sampling in those areas. What is problematic right now with the seafood sampling are the FDA measures around cadmium levels in the seafood. We're waiting for those to change and get lowered so that we can better present those results to the community, because right now it looks as if there's no problem. Grassroots mapping, this is my last few slides. We're always looking for technologies that are easy to use for communities to be able to document the pollution that they're experiencing. This was one that started in our offices last year during the BP oil spill, and this involves a weather balloon, a kite string, some duct tape, and a digital camera, and sending it up into the sky and programming it to take a picture every 10 seconds. So that gives you an aerial photograph at a resolution that you would never be able to get on Google Earth, and it allows communities immediately to see what the impact of the oil spill was. So now, because of this, you know, it got honorable mention in Kickstarter, but an entire organization has been founded based on this. It's called the Public Laboratory, and now, you know, they've taken it beyond. So, but we got to be an incubator for that. So thank you, and I will take questions if there's any questions. I also have some materials here if you'd like anything about our organization.